Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Belmont Basketball Podcast with Kevin Ingram and Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander.
Welcome into the Belmont Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. Passionate about getting you and your family in the home of your dreams and becoming debt-free, the Churchill team works to put you in a path to overall financial success. Contact a Churchill Mortgage home loan specialist today at churchillmortgage.com. Kevin Inger with Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander. A little breather here with the players getting a little time off for some finals and so forth.
Yeah, get to settle in and actually practice in such a way that we're just trying to get better as opposed to getting prepared to play somebody else. So it's been a nice little change of pace. I don't know if the guys have enjoyed it that much with exams, but in any case, I think it's been a good time for us.
What did you kind of take away from that first month? We did play so many games, like 8 games in November in a really short amount of time.
Yeah, really a mixed bag. I think if you look at the overall body of work, it's okay. Not displeased at all. We had our moments where I thought we were really good and kind of on task with and on par with where we wanted to be. But we talked a lot about just the inconsistency within our team and really both ends of the floor and things that are correctable, and maybe some of that is kind of the early season, and you're trying to feel your way and learn roles and responsibilities and everything else, but a lot of areas that we can improve, and I think we will.
Do you kind of accept, especially early in the season, with the team you're coaching for the first time, you're going to have some pretty big swings or it's going to go really, really well sometimes, and other times maybe not what you want?
Yeah, but I'll be honest and also say that some of it caught me by surprise. Mm-hmm. I felt like the off season and the acclimation to each other went really well, but then it's inevitable you get in games or you get within a week and of practice and so forth, and you encounter things that you I don't want to say weren't prepared for, but you don't know what's coming your way, and so learning to adapt in those moments and kind of whatever little adversities come your way, I mean that's really where you find out who you are and what your team's going to be. And so that's a process, and I didn't handle some of that very well, but I think we're going to come out on the end of it okay.
Is it almost a relief to have the two Lipscomb games out of the way where there's so much attention on you and just with it being, the rivalry series that it is?
Yeah, very much so. The first one was hard for me personally, in a good way. I mean, it was hard because I've got great memories of my time at Lipscomb, and they've been very good to me, and the players on that team were obviously very important people in my life. And then having to go over there for the first time, that was kind of an emotional thing for me. The second one, I didn't have nearly the anxiety or the feelings that went along with it. But I'm glad they're both over. I'm obviously glad we won both of them.
And those are just they're kind of games that you come to expect when those two teams play. It's kind of ugly, and they just do what it takes to get out with a win.
It's interesting how that game has evolved. I mean, they used to be shootouts. Mm-hmm. And, especially if you go way back to the NAIA days and so forth, it was just run and gun and a beautiful thing to watch, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't help but be extremely entertained. And now they've become a little bit more slugfest, and it seems like nobody ever plays well, and it's just last man standing kind of a game. But so I don't know. I assume that's the familiarity of it all, but who really knows?
And it looks like Lenny's going to do a good job with that program, isn't he?
Absolutely.
I thought even from game one to game two, they look like they'd made some progress.
Yeah, and they'll continue to see great progress through the year. I mean, they've got so many new pieces just on their roster, and then you talk about a new style, a new offense, and everything else. It's going to take them some time, but he's a heck of a coach. We knew that going into it. They'll end up having a really good season, I believe, and be a force in their league.
Didn't really have a whole lot of time to enjoy it, but how much did that win at Boston College and going up there and scoring 100 points against an ACC team and having a whole lot of the second half where the game was at hand, how much did that do kind of for the team to help with confidence and all those sorts of things early part of the season?
It was a fun trip. In a lot of ways, you get to go to a great city and you go play somebody that you haven't played before, and you're on the road in the ACC, and at the time we were playing a really good team. They were 3-0 and had some good wins under their belt at the time, and the first half was kind of a little bit of a track meet with, trading baskets. And then all of a sudden we look up, 6-8 minutes into the second half, and we're up 25, and I think all of us on both ends of the floor were kind of scratching our heads, saying, "What in the world just happened?"
Right, right. Adam Kunkel happened at a couple
that's
of those
right.
games. That's one of those dudes who just loves playing basketball, doesn't he? And I'm sure you have to like reel him in a little bit at times, but you don't want to put the reins on that guy too much, do you?
Yeah, I don't think it would make much sense to harness him. You know, I mean, as long as he's keeping the right perspective and he's doing it within the framework of what the team's all about, then you've got to let him. You know, you got to let his strengths come out. But and I think, you know, even last year when he was playing minimal minutes, the moment was still never too big for him. He wanted to be in there. He played with confidence. He delivered, some real important minutes down the stretch for this program.
Do you think the comparisons of Craig Bradshaw are a little bit close? I think that's a decent comparison.
Close,
watching those two play,
close enough. Both guys, you know, play with a lot of flair and what modern day guys would say, a lot of swagger.
Yeah.
But I think all in good, you know, in good fun. And I do think that's kind of what makes him who he is. I mean, he plays with a lot of confidence and believes in himself, and that energy is infectious, and so they're all positive characteristics.
You know, the guys who going into the season were the all conference selections, that sort of thing, have really delivered so far. I'm talking about Moose and Grayson. Moose already won a Player of the Week, and Grayson, man, he's been really good. Rebounding wise, what is it about his game that allows him to be in the right spot, or is that just a thing that he has a knack for?
Combination of things, without a doubt, he has a knack for it. You know, you can't as a point guard or any perimeter player, you know, go average 9+ rebounds a game over a 9 or 10 game stretch and not have a knack for it. But most of that, and most of rebounding in general, is just pursuit and a desire to go get it. And he has shown that with his early success that it's really a whole lot more willpower than anything else. I'll also say that he's got the benefit of, you know, whoever he's guarding rarely goes to rebound. So
right.
he can literally just turn and go get it.
Sure.
Whereas Moose, for example, he's battling a post player in there within 10 feet of the basket. He's got to box out, then he's got to go get it. So it's a little bit easier for him, but it takes a lot of effort, and he's been exceptional at it so far.
Do you have a bunch of 12 and 13 rebound games in your days?
I did. I had 12 and 13 rebounds, in practice when I was rebounding for my partner in shooting
right.
drills. That's about the only time I got 12 or 13 rebounds.
As far as Moose goes, what have you liked about his game so far?
Well, we've learned, and he knows that, that even though he's so skilled and he can play all over the floor, he's off to, he's shooting the ball really well from the three-point line so far. I think he's maybe 7 for 17, and I know he's made 2 with his foot on the line. So, but he's still best the closer he is to the rim, and that's just basketball in general. All the analytics will tell you
sure.
the closer you are to the rim, the better your percentage is going to be. And that's such a focal point of our offense. We're kind of continuously trying to pull him back down there. And he wants to be there, and he's done a really good job of it here lately. I mean, Eastern Washington, he had a kind of a breakout
sure.
game with 30 points and a real high percentage. He followed that up at MTSU, and so he's embracing that role a little bit more.
Do you have to remind guys at times, like, look, Moose has to get a touch on this trip, or we need to make sure we get run it through him here?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just what our offense is, and that's a hard thing as a post player, because there's a lot of possessions where Moose is down there working, and he doesn't even touch it, And so he has to recognize his value. We still may have gotten a wide open three because he's down there doing his job. So it all works together, and it's really important that, that's just kind of what the execution piece of it is. The fan is going to see whether the ball went in or not, but there's
yeah.
a whole lot to where that shot came from and how you got it, and that's what coaches are watching from possession to possession.
I always think about, going back to like the early 2000s when Adam Mark was here. To me, he was about as good as it got at getting down the floor quickly and getting deep post position and being able to be in that spot to catch
yeah.
the ball.
It's an art, and he was exceptional at it. I mean, literally, he and Greg Thurman, to my knowledge, are the best two we've ever had at just getting early position, working for position throughout the possession. And as we like to say, those two guys were great at scoring before the catch. In other words, they did all of their work before they caught it.
Yeah.
So all that was left is just to catch and lay it in, And that's that is an art, and it takes a lot of practice, but a really good understanding of how to play as well. As opposed to the guy that has good skills and good talent, and he
yeah.
can catch it and make a move and score. We'd rather just catch it and lay it in. That's a lot easier.
Sure.
Simple is better.
Yep. Freshman, what about Ben Shepherd? Boy, super athletic. You've seen some real flashes from that guy. He's going to be a special player, isn't
he? Yeah, and he plays with great speed. You know, that's what I really like about him. I've said a lot of times that he came in as well prepared as any freshman I've coached, literally, in however 20-whatever years I've been coaching as an assistant or head coach. He's fundamentally really good on both ends of the floor, has a good understanding, and plays with a lot of confidence. And you know, but he's still, you know, he's still having to learn a new role. I mean, you go from, like any high school player, you go from being one of the main guys, you know, that has a real fingerprint on every game to now I'm a role player, and you know, I'm getting in incrementally and so forth. And so that's taken some adjustment, but he's got a really bright future.
How do you approach that with guys? Because you're right. I mean, and it kind of holds true with every sport. Everybody who's going to play at this level has been a star in high school, more than likely. How do you sort of make them understand, look, you got to be patient, your time's going to come, but for right now, this is your role?
Yeah, it's really difficult, honestly. I mean, everybody wants it now, mm-hmm. you know, and even the best team guys out there, they still, you know, we all want instant success and opportunity, and you know, and you recruit these guys, telling them how good they are, and so they walk in the door thinking, okay, I'm about to take off right here. But yeah. it doesn't happen that way, and you know, and it's one of the good things. It's kind of a blessing and a curse with this program, is we've had such sustained success by staying old. We've always, you know, even, you know, having veterans in our program and guys that are 4 and 5 year guys, you know, as a coach, you don't want freshmen to come in and play a lot. You know, you want guys that are experienced and just better, and let those guys develop over time. And so it can be a tough balance.
Yes. Last year was supposed to be the young team. And it turned out to be, you know, one of the best we've had. And of course you had the two seniors. Is there kind of a sweet spot though, for a lot of players, where it's that sophomore and junior seasons where, you know, sometimes the guys get to be seniors, they got a lot going on, but man, those middle 2 years is where you get the best out of players.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And it's different for everybody, though. You know, I mean, you just, you know, you don't know when your opportunity is going to come. Like, look at Adam Kunkel, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Kunk could have probably played 15, 20 minutes last season and been just fine. But he's playing behind Kevin McClain and Dylan Windler, and the opportunities just weren't there, yeah. You know. And but now, without those guys in front of him, he's getting the opportunity, and you can really see what he can do. You know, in other cases, maybe a guy walks in and the opportunity's there from the beginning. And so it's just different for different guys. And obviously everybody has a little bit of stake in it, and they can make their own way. But that's just kind of the beauty of a team, beauty of coaching, really.
Yeah, it feels like Tyler Scanlon's coming and fit right in. Is it just me, or does he feel like he's about 8 years older than the other guys, at least the way it seems?
He's one of a kind, but he's been a great addition to our team. I'm really pleased with how he's kind of immersed himself into our program. And you know, we've had such great continuity here that anytime you bring kind of a, you know, an outsider in, you never really know how that's going to work. But he is, not only is he a great fit for how we play, and he's totally picked up, you know, what, you know, all the intricacies of offense and defense, but he's been a real good addition in all ways.
Play Carson Newman this week. And we were talking a little about this before we went on. Take it back to the NAIA days a little bit, where it was like a lot more run and gun and that sort of style.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, they're off to a pretty good start. And Greg Sage was showing me an old box score from the last time we played in 1992. And so it's been a while, but, you know, we're just going to be excited to play. You know, it's as much as we haven't needed the practice and actually some time off. I mean, we had 4 out of 5 days off for exams and where our guys could recover. So I think everybody's itching to get back out there and play some games again.
Life was a little different in 1992, wasn't it?
Yeah,
back in college days.
Yeah, I would imagine we took 2 15-passenger vans to that game, and I would guess that we had some McDonald's for post-game meal afterwards, and the rest is history.
Yeah, there you go. you know, as you kind of get into December here, going to have some tough games coming up. Going to play Alabama, play Western Kentucky. You know, what are your goals as you kind of get into these last few games before conference starts?
Well, I think we're at a stage of the season where, you know, the uncertainties, you know, should be behind us. You know, I mean, naturally there's going to be some things that we encounter that we're not ready for. I mean, that's just what a season's all about. But, you know, we've played however many, 9 games now. We've played a third of our season, basically, and we've been together for a long time. And so it's really time to start settling in and establishing an identity and being able to know what we're going to do and can count on each other for those things. And, yeah, we've got 2 or 3, I guess we've got 4 non-conference games left before conference play starts. But I think over these next couple of weeks, then it'll feel a whole lot more like basketball season and like we're really into the, you know, the on the cusp of, you know, what we're here for.
What's the settling in process been like for you as you've gotten into an actual season and you have other things, you know, that go with it, you know, whether it's recruiting or, you know, speaking to, you know, the Bruin Club or, you know, things like that?
Well, it's it just happens so fast. I mean, you spend, you know, 6 months getting ready for the season to start, and then all of a sudden you've got 9 games and, you know, whatever, 20 days or something, and you can hardly catch your breath. And so it's amazing that, you know, no matter how many years you do it or how you prepare for it, it still just comes at you fast. And it's, you know, it's literally, you know, 0 to 60 in a split second. And so, but I've settled in. I mean, I think we're all in a good place. You know, I feel good about our team and our program and what's ahead.
Casey, thanks.
Thank you.
It's Casey Alexander. This is the Belmont Basketball Podcast. It is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. You can check out them today at churchillmortgage.com. We'll talk to you next time.